Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Well, today, of course, is Father's Day, and I want to say that fatherhood is difficult, and being an excellent father is especially difficult. It takes as much energy and commitment as motherhood does. Many years ago, before husbands were allowed into the delivery room to watch their children being born, there was a husband-to-be who was awaiting the birth of his first child, and he was out in the waiting room, pacing back and forth. He was really anxious and worried and fearful of what was happening, and sweat was just pouring off of him, and you could just tell that he was in agony, until about 4 o'clock in the morning when a nurse came out and said, "Sir, congratulations, you have a new baby girl." And he went limp, and he said, "Oh, thank God, it's a girl. At least you won't have to go through what I had to go through tonight." There was a young man who was about to get married, and he went to his father, and he said, "Dad, I'm really apprehensive about getting married." And his dad said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Well, because my feet really stink terribly." And his dad said, "Well, don't worry about it. Just wear socks to bed and your wife won't even know it." And so he said, "Okay." Well, at the same time, I guess the bride-to-be was asking her mother, saying to her mother that she was apprehensive about getting married as well. And her mother said, "Well, why is that?" And she said, "Because I have terrible bad breath in the morning when I first wake up." And her mother said, "Well, don't worry about that. Just make sure you keep your mouth shut until you can get into the bathroom and brush your teeth." And so everything went fine at the wedding. And for 6 months, their secret was kept secure, no problems. Until one day at 5 o'clock in the morning, the husband woke up and realized that one of his socks had come off in the bed. And so he went underneath the covers and began to look for the stinky sock. And while he was under the covers, he accidentally hit his wife, and she woke up, and he popped his head up out of the bed, and she said to him, "What in the world are you doing?" And he said, "Oh my God, you've eaten one of my socks." Well, we tend to get all worried about our worst fears coming to pass, and the reason why we get worried about that is because sometimes something we do fear does happen. And certainly, we tend to worry about some of the silliest things. I remember when I first started out in the ministry, I was fearful of standing up in front of people with my zipper down. And certainly that happened once, and I was totally humiliated. And so after it happened again, I thought, well, that's just kind of the way things are. Thankfully, my wife kind of looks me over now to make sure I'm all put together. And I'm thankful that I'm wearing this robe now so that you won't be tempted to look down to make sure I've taken care of business this morning. But we tend to worry about some of the silliest things, but there are also things that tend to occupy our minds that really cause us a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of grief. After Rabbi Liebman wrote his famous book, Peace of Mind, he describes how people were coming to him constantly seeking advice on how they could gain peace of mind. They would come to him at all hours of the day. They would call him up on the phone at night. They would come over to his house at night. And he was such a caring person that he never turned anyone away. But eventually it began to weigh heavily on him and affect his health to the point that he was near death at the age of 41. And before he died, he made this startling statement. He said, "I'm appalled at the multitudes of people who have never learned to empty their minds." Now, I haven't met a person yet who has been able to fully empty their minds of worries and fears. And certainly we think of all the things that concern us. We think of making a living. We think of the loans we have to meet, taxes we have to pay, what will happen to us when we grow old. We worry about the economy. We worry about the government. We worry about the world condition. We get let down by people around us. We're worried about our children and the decisions that they make. We think about the mistakes that we've made. We're afraid of our health deteriorating. We're afraid of viruses and other things. And gradually, what little peace of mind we had is drained away. We find ourselves living in a conscious or subconscious state of anxiety. In our gospel lesson today, we see the apostles really are no different than we are. And yet they had Jesus physically present with them. These apostles and disciples had seen Jesus doing miraculous things, healing people. He had seen them setting people free from demonic influence. He had seen them doing all sorts of, they'd seen him doing all sorts of miracles on land. But now he had sent them across the Sea of Galilee to the other side in a boat. I had the opportunity when I visited Israel many years ago to go across the Sea of Galilee. And the day was perfectly calm. There was no cloud, there were no clouds in the sky. And yet halfway across the sea, the wind picked up and began to blow waves over into the boat. And that was nothing like what the apostles and disciples were facing as this great storm arose on them. And they were certainly living in a great deal of fear. Now, they had already grown to trust Jesus to some extent. They knew that he had power to do many things, but they weren't really sure that he had the power to save them or protect them in this particular situation. Jesus, on the other hand, had perfect trust in his Father in heaven. He was trusting so much that he was asleep in the back of the boat while this great storm came upon them. Jesus didn't seem to be bothered by that at all. The apostles, on the other hand, were terrified. There's nothing more frightening than when you face a particular situation that you see could produce your death, and there's nothing you can do about it. I remember watching the movie Titanic when people realized that the ship was sinking. Many people just jumped overboard, or some tried to climb up to the highest part of the ship as it was sinking. Others just sat down and kind of resigned themselves to their fate. There was nothing they could do about the situation. The apostles, many of them were fishermen. They were well aware of the dangers of the sea. They were struggling to save themselves, perhaps bailing water out of the ship, looking for land, maybe even looking for a good place to jump overboard. And then they see Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. Don't you hate it when you're worried about something and someone you know isn't worried about it at all? We want them to share in our fear so that we won't feel so alone. Listen to what the apostle said. "Teacher, don't you care if we die?" They're now hoping that Jesus will either tell them what to do, or will somehow rectify the situation himself, or will somehow share in their anxiety. There are three great fears at the heart of our thoughts about death. We're afraid of suffering, we're afraid of leaving our loved ones behind, and we're afraid of what lies ahead of us after death. Many of our other fears and worries are somehow tied into this idea of death. We're afraid if we lose our jobs, we'll lose our homes, and then we'll be penniless on the street and die homeless. We're afraid of whenever we get sick that we're going to die from that sickness. We're afraid of people rejecting us and having no friends, which for some is a fate worse than death. Sometimes people have what psychologists call complex anxieties. A complex anxiety is defined as a group of memories and desires of which we are not conscious, but which affect our personality and determine our behavior. An anxiety complex would be a system of unhappy memories buried deep within the subconscious because they're too painful to face, and which produce many kinds of symptoms and diseases of the body and soul. Healing of these types of anxieties often require the healing of one's own memories or the spiritual cleansing of those memories by the Lord. Whether our anxiety is of the complex type or the normal type, ultimately, Jesus Christ is the one who is best able to help us through our anxieties and our worries. When the apostles were facing the possibility of death, they turned to Jesus. When Jesus woke up, he spoke to the sea and said, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased and the waves became calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" It's almost as if Jesus was saying, "I have a plan for your life, and nothing is going to thwart that plan that I have for you." Sometimes the Lord will stop the storm in our lives. At other times, he will save us out of the storm, as he did with the Apostle Paul as he was shipwrecked in the Adriatic Sea. If Jesus has a plan for our lives, then we can look at everything that happens to us as a part of that plan. Sometimes we suffer as a result of the wrongdoing of others. That's what happened to Paul when he was shipwrecked. He told the sailors not to go away from the island of Crete, but they did anyway. Paul had to endure the suffering caused by others. But the Lord spared him because it was part of God's plan. Sometimes we have to suffer as a result of the actions of others. Stephen had to suffer death as a result of his witnessing for the Lord. And yet, that was a part of Christ's plan for him. And God gave him the grace to endure that event. Listen to how the apostles reacted when Jesus calmed the storm. It said they were filled with terror. And they asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They saw the power of Jesus firsthand. And even with that, later on, they would still succumb to fear, worry, and anxiety. There are a number of remedies that the Bible gives us for anxiety, for worry, and for fear. Some of those remedies have to do with refocusing our minds. I printed a sheet up that you hopefully received when you came in today. And if you'll get that out, it talks about overcoming worry and anxiety and fear. And there are various passages in Scripture that can really help us during those times that we struggle. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The mind who is stayed on thee or fixed on thee can keep our mind, if we keep our minds on Jesus, that means there's less space in our minds for worry and anxiety. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Trust seems to be the key element in reducing worry and anxiety. The more we trust in the Lord, the less we will worry. We're constantly trying to figure things out, trying to make sense of things, trying to find solutions to things. But what often happens when we do that is we kind of crowd God out of the solution part of the problem. We're constantly trying to figure things out ourselves and not really seeking the Lord's help. By acknowledging him, keeping our minds on him, we have less room for worry in our own minds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. But first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Jesus says, "Seek me and I will give you what you need in your life." St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying here that prayer is a great way to get rid of anxiety and worry. There's a great hymn that we sing sometimes in church, and it's called, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." One of the verses of that hymn goes like this: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Prayer really is keeping our minds focused on God as we lift up our requests to him. If God made the heavens and the earth, as we read about in our first lesson today, then surely he is powerful enough and worthy enough for our trust. May I suggest that the reason why we are so fearful and filled with worry is that we really don't believe that God will take care of us. That was brought home to me many years ago when in our church, our treasurer came to me and said, "I don't know if we're going to be able to pay the bills this month. I'm not even sure we're going to be able to keep the doors open." Well, immediately I was filled with all sorts of fear and anxiety, thinking to myself, how are we going to keep the church going? How are we going to keep the doors open? How am I going to survive? How's my family going to survive? During that time, there were others in the church who were also filled with similar anxieties. But there were a few people who had great faith, and they reminded me that God is going to provide for us. God is going to take care of us. And I really appreciated people like that at that time, reminding me through their faith of the faithfulness of God. And certainly, I was reminded as well of some of these scriptures, and I was reminded that I needed to refocus on the Lord and have him help me through these difficult times. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, I was reminded to fix my thoughts on Jesus. I'm convinced that most of my worries would be a temporary thought in my mind if I let them go and return to thinking about Jesus. Bill Brewster and Robert Dale give the ultimate solution to anxiety and worry in a little story they told. They said a pilot heard a gnawing sound in his small plane while aloft over the South Pacific. Instantly, they realized that it was a giant rat that had stowed away on the plane. And that rat was chewing on parts of the plane. And he realized that if he didn't stop that rat from doing it, that he would eventually get to the parts of the plane that would cause a crash. And he was two hours away from the nearest landing strip. And so he wondered, what am I going to do to stop this rat from chewing away at the equipment in this plane? And so he realized that what he could do finally was to take the plane in a steep climb up. And he went 10,000 feet, 15,000 feet, 20,000 feet, 25,000 feet. And finally, the gnawing stopped. When he got back down and he finally landed, he saw that the rat had died because of lack of oxygen. And he made this observation. He said, could it be that if we keep our thoughts lifted up and focused upon Jesus more often, that fear, worry, and anxiety would slowly die off in our lives? Well, I'm willing to give that a concerted effort. And perhaps this week, as you face things that cause fear, worry, or anxiety in your life, perhaps you can also begin to focus more on Christ and remind yourself that you can lift up your request to Him. One of the Psalms I like to remind myself about is Psalm 34, verse 1. It says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. I will make my boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that You would remind us during our times of worry and anxiety of Your great power, of Your great plan for our life, of Your ability to bring us through anything that we face. Lord, help us to get to that place where whenever we have a worry of something, we would immediately lift up our request to You, and we would lay that which concerns us at Your feet, knowing that You're able to handle that which concerns us. We also pray, Lord, that You would give us the ability to trust You for our lives and to realize that indeed You are in control of our lives if we have committed ourselves to You. Ultimately, Lord, we thank You that You're going to fulfill Your plan in our life and bring us to Your home in heaven. We look forward to that day, Lord, but until that time, give us the grace that we need to do the work that You've called us to do while we're still on this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.